Good to see you today. We gather together today with kind of a special mission, and I want to kind of lay it out like this. Let's say an individual walked into our church who has had some religious experience in their life, some of it good, some of it bad, and they're in a process of searching for some life answers. And that person comes in and they sit down right here in this front seat. And as they sit there in that very valuable front seat, they are here with a question in their mind: what is this thing called Christianity? Why should I consider it? How does it work? And what would motivate me to engage Christianity in such a way that I would want to take it from this seat or this auditorium and try it on and step outside the doors of the church and see how it fits in life? So just think about that person as we go through our service here this morning. I've entitled this sermon, A Time of Praise. Psalms 34, 1 through 3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This morning we are setting aside in our busy schedules, in our full agendas of life, and in our preseason holiday activities to be intentional in celebrating the Lord here today. This service is about individual praise rising up to become a corporate celebration in order that we might launch a time of personal and public praise before the throne of God here this morning. This morning, while the world runs here and there doing its own thing, we have chosen to pause as God's people with the angels in heaven in the presence of the greatness of our God to bring a spirit of gratitude to our Heavenly Father for the salvation that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the direction that He gives us through His Word, for the indwelling Holy Spirit who empowers us and guides us and directs us. As I thought about this service, John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 came to mind. It says this: Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This is an act of worship and praise bestowed upon Jesus by Mary. And it's such a significant act of praise that God caused this story to be infallibly and eternally preserved in His Word so that we, some 2,000 years later, would read it and understand this beautiful act of worship that took place in regard to God. The history of the story is a group of Christ's followers had gathered together to dine with the Lord. It appears many people in the household had had their lives touched in an enormous way by Jesus. There was Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. There are Mary and Martha and the disciples of Jesus, perhaps others there as well. All of these people had witnessed some pretty awesome acts that had been performed by Jesus over the past 3 years. Some of them themselves had been recipients of the miracles that Jesus had performed. In other words, they were the beneficiaries of the miracles that Jesus performed. While yet others in that room were ambassadors of miracles that they performed in Jesus' name through the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons. And so, after a time of fellowship in the home and us not really knowing what the catalyst was to bring Mary to this point of time and act of worship, Mary takes out this ointment, presumably expensive perfume, and she applies it to the Master's feet. With the anointing of Jesus' feet, Mary then washes his feet with her hair. This action of Mary no doubt gained the attention of everybody that was in the room. The scriptures report that the perfume filled the house, and Mary's praise, sacrifice, permeated the room, and it became an opportunity for all to praise God. I wonder what it's like for our lives to be broken and spilled out.
One day a plain village woman, driven.
Nothing.
One of the things I notice as I think about worship of God is that in whatever way that I worship the Lord, I find in many occasions that Jesus has already honored me in that way. In other words, when I say, I love you, Lord, the Lord has already said, I love you, Kent. When Mary breaks out this vial and this perfume, and it's broken and spilled out on the Lord's feet, it's because God already had a plan, and that was that His Son was going to be broken on the cross and spilled out in God's love and mercy for us. And I can't think of anything that God has ever asked me to do in my lifetime that Jesus hasn't already been willing to walk that road before me or walk that road with me. I cannot help but think, as Mary worshiped Jesus by the washing of His feet, that others began to reflect as well on the many things that Jesus had done to help them and to help others, the healing of physical ailments, the healing of disease, the raising of a child from the dead, provision of food for the hungry, demons cast out, the sea calmed by Jesus' words, Jesus walking on the water and giving strength and comfort in times of distress and need. Lazarus may have been thinking about the amazing miracle Jesus performed in his life, raising him from the dead. If Simon the leper were there, he may have been thinking about how he got his life back and being cured from leprosy and able to return to the common life in the nation of Israel. No longer segregated and isolated from society, able to live a full life again. Mary may have been thinking about her sorrow upon her brother's death, only to be filled with awe and praise at the resurrection of her brother. To me, it was good to linger in this portion of the passage, thinking about the attitude of praise of God overtaking His people. As Mary worshiped Jesus and as others embraced the moment, we soon read how the self-righteous, condemning, conniving words of Judas seek to cast a wet blanket on the worship service that broke out there when Mary opened that perfume bottle and poured it on Jesus' feet and washed them. Judas, his words, the perfume should have been sold and the profit given to feed the poor. But no, church, we're not going down that road with Judas today. We're going to continue to walk the road of praise with Mary and Lazarus and the disciples. We will not let our worship of God and the praise of Jesus be silenced by the cynical, silenced by the non-believing or the greedy or the rejecters of Jesus and the Son of God. The world may scoff, but we will worship the Lord God Almighty, for He is our Lord and He is our King. I've often been in places where those who do not love Jesus have sought to dampen enthusiasm and praise for God. However, not today. Not today. Psalms 28, verses 6 and 7 says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him." Psalms 31, 21 says, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city." And I might say in a besieged life. Psalm 68, verses 19 and 20. "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation." Selah. God is to us a God of deliverance. Now, in my way of thinking, this service today is a time of praise for the Lord. Oftentimes, I get to say the things that God has laid upon my heart in terms of truth from His Word or celebrations of things that I think noteworthy. As I prepared this week's service, I was thinking about the church and the opportunity for you to breathe a breath of praise to God before your brothers and sisters in Christ, to be an encouragement to them, so that we might all know, so that we might all see that God still works in the 21st century. God's still alive and present in our world today, and God works within the hearts of His people and the lives of His people right here at True Life Church. God is not dead, but He is alive. I was thinking about Jonah and the latter half of Jonah's prayer in Jonah chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. And you might have felt like this at a time. Jonah's, his circumstances are, Jonah expresses it this way: "Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head." Have you ever felt like that in life? Weeds wrapped around your head? "I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever." Can you feel that sense of despair, that sense of anxiety, that sense of trouble in his words? Have you ever felt that kind of despair? But then he goes on to say at the second half of verse 6, "But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you in your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I vow, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." Interesting. "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." Now, there may be a lot of things that we can't do in this life, and maybe a lot of places that we can't go in terms of our service for the Lord. But one thing that we can do is that we can sacrifice to the Lord with the voice of thanksgiving, with the voice of praise, with the voice of celebration for the good things that God has done. The testimony of Jonah: salvation is from the Lord. So as we think about it, life is hard on this earth at times. Things often don't go the way we want them to. Indeed, I admit, I prefer blessing over trial. I prefer health over sickness. I prefer abundance over wanting. I prefer warmth to cold. I prefer relief to distress, and so on. But I hope in all things that no matter what the circumstances might be, that whether it be in the time of distress or comfort, whether it be in the time of health or sickness, whether it be in the time of abundance or wanting, that one thing that will never leave our lips is the praise of God, that will never leave our heart, that will never leave our soul. But it will always be true of our lips that we will come to God with thanksgiving. And it's an important element, this thing of thanksgiving, because Nehemiah made this statement: "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Notice he doesn't say the depression of my soul is his strength. The anxiety of my soul is his strength. My sadness is the soul, is the strength for my soul. But he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because when we recognize the omnipotence and omniscience and omnipresence of God, and we recognize that his grace and his mercy is for me, when we recognize that he has invited me into his heaven, when we recognize that he has given us a free gift called salvation that has been bought and paid for through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have reason to be joyful and we have reason to celebrate. And so this morning I would like to take the rest of the service and give you opportunity to speak praise about your God. God is good. He's greatly to be praised. Whether we are living in trial or calm, health or sickness, wealth or poverty, recovering from inflicted emotional or spiritual wounds of the past, or recovering from self-inflicted emotional and spiritual wounds from the past, whether we are living through suffering, hardship, or difficulty, or through a time of peace, tranquility, and ease, God is good. And God is greatly to be praised. So what praise comes from your lips today? Because this guy sitting right down here in the front row, he's not sure what he needs to decide in this thing called Christianity. Is it a thing that you come to on Sunday morning and leave behind when you go out the door? Or is it something that goes with you and makes a difference in terms of how you live and what you do? So you have opportunity to make your boast in the Lord. And at whatever level, whether it be an answered prayer, something you've learned this week, a praise for something that God has done. Is God alive in the 21st century? Is he alive at True Life Church? And is he alive in our lives and the things that we say and do as we work and we follow him? So that's what this microphone is here for. It's for you to come and share a thought, perhaps, of what God has done. And the reason this mic is here is because sometimes people like me can't hear very well. And I don't want to miss a thing that you have to say about our God, because I want to rejoice with you. So we'll bear through that awkward first couple moments of silence as you work up your courage to come and be part of the praise service today for the Lord. So I know it's hard to believe, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to be quiet and turn the floor over to you.